Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Proverbs chapter 20, verse 13. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 13. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 13, "Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread." Now, practically speaking, that's a very easy verse of Scripture to understand, and it's very practical if you ever want to be able to make a living. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. It means a man's got to be able to sleep a sufficient amount of time to rest, and after that he's got to get up, get out of bed, and get going. Otherwise, he's not going to have enough food to feed himself and feed his family. And that would work in our society today. That would work in agrarian society. It doesn't really make any difference. However, as I look at this verse of Scripture, you know something? We're given a command here that fits very well with the church. You know why? Because there are people today that are not getting much out of the Bible. I listen to the preaching, just like you do, and I hear a lot of stuff. But a lot of the stuff that you hear and a lot of stuff that's being taught is not from the Bible. It's from books that other people have read. It's from psychology. It's from training. You know, you can tell because you hear the vocabulary that's being used, and you'll hear a lot of coined phrases, and you'll hear a lot of vocabulary that's being used that's the same kind of vocabulary that's being spoken by people that are leading seminars, the same kind of vocabulary that's being used by facilitators in meetings of people. And so what you're hearing is a lot of regurgitated stuff from men. And it's not satisfying the hunger of the soul, which can only be satisfied by the Word of God. That's why I say their folks are not getting much Bible today, getting a lot more stuff with the Bible, you know, being used as the proof text, but the stuff that's coming is coming from man, not coming from the book, not coming from the Holy Spirit. And in order to be satisfied with bread, you have to open your eyes. The bread comes from the bread of life, from the Lord Jesus Christ, from the book that he wrote. You remember the Bible says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." The Word of God is compared to bread, and it's compared to bread in such a way that it'll satisfy your hunger for righteousness, your hunger for fellowship with God, your hunger for the knowledge of the Holy and the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, there are instructions in here on how to get that information, how to get that bread, how to get that satisfied feeling from the book. And the first thing he said is, love not sleep. Love not sleep. Now, you know, I've noticed something in churches, and it's not so common in a lot of the places that I get to go, but in some places that I've been, I look around, and you know what I see? Eyes closed, people sleeping. He said, love not sleep. One time before, I've mentioned to you and a broadcast, been quite a while now, maybe a year or two ago, so I'll repeat it again, but I remember a fellow telling me about a deacon who loved to sit next to a pillar that was inside of his church building, and the reason he did is that as soon as the service started, he could lean up against that pillar and sleep till the service was over. That's what he liked to do. And one time, the church went through a rainstorm that was so strong, it knocked out all the lights, but the way the lightning knocked out the lights, you got the impression in that service that the light that had been knocked out was only a temporary thing. You know how that happens sometimes? You'll see them flicker and then they'll go out and you think, well, probably in 10 seconds they'll come right back on. Well, that's the way that the congregation perceived this, and that's the way the pastor perceived it, so he didn't react about, you know, anything. Just everybody sat quietly till the lights came back on. Well, during that little interim of quiet, probably last 5 or 10 seconds, that deacon woke up, and of course he couldn't see anybody else around him because the building was entirely consumed in darkness. And it was at that moment that he thought he had been left in the church building alone after everybody had concluded the service because they didn't wake him up. That's what he thought. And so that guy blurted out in that momentary darkness for everybody in the congregation to hear during that moment of silence. He said, "I'll be D blank. They didn't even have the courtesy to wake me up." Boom! And the lights came right back on. That's hilarious. You know what that is? That's somebody that loved to sleep. Listen, the church is asleep like the way that Israel has been asleep. Paul said in Romans chapter 11 that the trouble with Israel about the Lord Jesus Christ and about righteousness from the Lord Jesus Christ and about God's righteousness is that they're asleep. He described it this way in Romans chapter 11, verse 8. He said, "According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear unto this day." The spirit of slumber. You know what it is? They fell asleep and they're happy to be asleep. They love sleep. And he said, listen, if you're going to be satisfied with bread, you can't love sleep. And you know what's happened? We've been lulled by an ease in the comfortable modern churches. Everything's air conditioned. All the pews and chairs are padded. The floor is carpeted. The walls are nice and soothing. And, you know, so you go to church and you're very relaxed and there's this atmosphere of comfort and ease that just allows you to sort of float, you know. And then you get home and you've got a nice comfortable sofa and that stuff. And there's no table and chair like Elisha had when he was there traveling through Shunem. There's no sitting up, you know, and taking note out of the words of God. There's just this lay it in your lap and, you know, why even bring the Bible to church? That's what's happened these days. I was talking to a fella, and he went to a church. He was out of town, and he couldn't be in our church, and so he went out of town, and he decided he would visit a particular church that he thought had a good reputation, and he went in there, and he was greeted heartily by a lot of people in the church, and he thought, man, this has to be one of the friendliest churches that I have ever attended in my life, and it really, really impressed him that everybody there recognized that he was a visitor, and so after so many people had come by and shaken his hand, and he thought, in such a large church, you know, how could they know? He asked somebody, how is it with all these people here that you recognize that I'm a visitor? And the person laughed, well, it was obvious. You're the only one that has a Bible. See, this was one of those churches that put it all up there on the screen. The hymns on the screen, the Bible verses on the screen, that kind of thing. And what had happened is that people got to a point now where they can't see the words of God. The devil has a strong foothold in the congregations of most churches in the United States today. People don't bring Bibles. People don't go home and read their Bibles. People don't study their Bibles. And the trouble is, they love to sleep. And Paul, you know, when you read Paul, if Paul repeats something time and time again, like I'm going to show you that he did in Romans, 1 Corinthians, Ephesians, and 1 Thessalonians. He keeps repeating the same thing over and over again. You know why? God wanted those congregations to know it when he wrote to them, and God wants us to pay careful attention. We have got to wake up. Listen, you're not going to get the Bible by osmosis, and neither are your children. You are going to have to be wide awake and pay attention and feed yourself and be fed out of the words of God. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. I'll read it for you down to verse 14. "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep." That's Paul giving a commandment to the Romans and therefore to us, because here these words are recorded in the New Testament for us to read. "Now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us, therefore, cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, drunkenness, chambering, wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Paul said, wake up, man. You got to wake up. Like Solomon said, you can't be in love with sleep and hope to get satisfied with bread. You know, people will tell me, I don't believe the Bible is literally true. People will tell me, I can't understand it. I've tried to read it and I don't understand it. And I ask them the question, okay, how many times have you read the entire Bible in a authorized King James Version from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, all the way to the amen or the end following Revelation 22, verse 21. How many times? Well, I never read it that far. I can't get past about five chapters. Well, that's your problem. You know what the problem is? You love to sleep. You get in there and think, well, this is going to take me some time. I'm going to have a dictionary so I can look up a few of these words. I don't want to do that. I want something that reads like my newspaper. Well, you're not going to be satisfied with what you read if you read something that sounds like your newspaper. You got to read something and listen. Maybe you do have to have a dictionary and look up a word or two. All right, then do that. Maybe you got to get familiar with a thee and a thou and a begat and a begot that you're not used to saying and reading, but you better pay careful attention to them because they mean something. And God uses them in such a way to clearly teach you something that you wouldn't know otherwise. Maybe you have to have a concordance to remind you where a few of the verses are that you can almost quote but can't remember by memory. Maybe you do. Maybe you have to have an atlas where you can look up where a city is located when God's making reference to it. So what's the problem? Are you too lazy to study? Paul said, wake up! In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34, Paul said, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. You know why? Won't wake up. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. If you're going to get satisfied with the bread of life, if you're going to get satisfied with the bread that comes from this great book, you're going to have to open your eyes. You're going to have to wake up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober, for they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. You know what Paul says? 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 Four times he tells you, wake up! That's the number one thing that Solomon deals with in this proverb. If you want to be satisfied with bread, the first thing you're going to have to do is be wide awake. Most people I know, when they get a Bible and they start to read, the eyes get heavy. Right? Your eyes get heavy. You say, how do you know that? My eyes get heavy. You got to fight that off. You got to come to it rested. You can't occupy your time with 3 or 4 hours of television every day and then a full day's work schedule and a full belly of food and then expect to have your eyes wide open at 11 o'clock at night to do your Bible reading. You're going to fall asleep. And you're not going to be satisfied. Listen, late at night before I go to bed, I'll get something like a Reader's Digest. I'll lie down on my bed and look at one of those articles because they're very short, and I use it like a sedative, and it'll knock me right out. And most of the times I can't get through two or three paragraphs, and bang, I'm out. Well, how are you going to lay down in bed and take your Bible and hope to do any kind of a devotion and understand anything from God? You'll be out like a light. Wake up in the morning and say, well, I'll get to that tomorrow evening. Right. You get home, you mow the lawn, play with the dog, play with the kids, watch television, eat a great big meal, sit down there, open your Bible. It'll work every time, put you straight to sleep. He said you can't be in love with sleep and hope to ever be satisfied with bread. Here's the second thing that Solomon said. He said, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. So he warned that poverty would result. If you love sleep, you're going to be impoverished. You say, well, how does that affect us in the church? Well, let me tell you something. John told you specifically in Revelation chapter 3, verse 17, in addressing the church of Laodicea, which is a picture of the church the time of the church age that we're living in today. You've heard people refer to this as the Laodicean age. Oh, you know what he said? He said, you think you're rich, but you're poor. Look at this thing in Revelation 3, 17. He said, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, and P-O-O-R, poor, and blind and naked. You see it? He said, you think you got it made because you got money. Now, you drive around and you look at the churches, and the megachurch deal is the big deal today. That's the fad, okay? So you ride around here, you see a great big building. They say, yeah, this cost us $8 million. You see a great big building. Yeah, we leased this for 99 years. Cost us 20-some-odd million, and we put $40 million in it. It's got $60 million tied up in it. and I got a nice car, and I preach prosperity, and look at all this great luxury that we have around us, and look at that diamond my wife is wearing, and look at those jewels, and la-di-da-di-da, and everybody says, man, God is so good to us. Look at all these wonderful things that he's given us. We are just loaded. We've got great big houses, two cars, kids in college, and it's all paid for, great big luxurious church. What more could we need? And God says, you know something? Here's what you need. You need to be satisfied with the bread of life because you are poor. And that's what Solomon said would happen to you. If you love sleep, then poverty is going to come upon you, lest thou come to poverty. And that's exactly the description of the age in which we live in the churches of the world today. Plenty of money, but dirt poor. Now listen, I can show you from the Bible, and I will show you, that your satisfaction, your contentment, your wealth is not measured, as far as God is concerned, by the same standard that you use. Today, when you listen to all this prosperity preaching and all this positive stuff and all this luxury around you, you think that the blessings of God, or have come to believe that the blessings of God are measured by the Lord in terms of your financial wealth. Wrong. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2, Paul is writing about what happened to the churches of Macedonia when they started taking up offerings for the poor, how that in a great trial of affliction and the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. When Macedonia decided to help out, they went through a great trial of affliction, and yet they experienced an abundance of joy. And when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, it's love, joy, peace. And then the other six. Love, joy, peace. And you know something? I'll talk to Christians today, and you know one thing they want? Is joy. See, joy is a contentment that comes without an external stimulus. In other words, there are a lot of people that go to something. Disney World, theme park, movie, football game, as long as they win. And they come away, and they're happy. Birthday party, whatever, you know, and they come away and they're like, oh, yeah, man, I'm really happy, woo. Or even a church service. They hear the rock and roll music and pom-pom girls, and they come away from that and go, man, I'm really happy. I'm all pepped up like a pep rally, okay? External stimulus, because you got to wake up in the morning, and guess what? All the glitz and glitter is gone. Nobody else is cheering. Now you got to go back to work. You're kind of like, oh, boy, I feel terrible. You know why? No joy. What you had was happiness that came from an external stimulus, and what you needed was joy. Joy comes from the inside when you are satisfied with bread, with the bread of life. And Macedonia had an abundance of joy. While they had deep poverty, and that deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. I'll show it to you again in case it wasn't clear enough. Look in Revelation chapter 2, verse 9. All right? There's a letter being written to the angel of the church in Smyrna. And in Revelation 2:9, the Lord says, I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, parenthesis, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. So here's a guy, two times, Macedonia and the church in Smyrna. Neither one of them had physical wealth. They were impoverished, and yet the Lord said, they are rich. You know what? God does not measure your success and your blessings by material wealth. Now, he may load you up with material wealth, but he's not measuring your spirituality and your success and your joy and your happiness by the material wealth. You know what he's measuring it by? Measuring it by something that's on the inside. Smyrna had it. Macedonia had it. The question is, do you have it? And if you don't, then you need to follow what Solomon said here. First of all, don't love sleep. You got to wake up. Secondly, you got to recognize that you are impoverished and starving to death on an insufficient diet because you're not getting things out of the Word of God. So you're commanded to open your eyes. He says, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes. That's what he said. You're commanded to open your eyes. Open your eyes. When Paul was commissioned by the Lord and commanded by the Lord to preach, he described to Agrippa the nature of his ministry. And in Acts chapter 26, verse 18, here's what he said. He said in Acts chapter 26, verse 18, we'll start with verse 17 for the context. delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, watch it, to open their eyes. To open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. What did Paul say? He said, my responsibility, calling as a minister of the words of God, is to open their eyes. And Solomon said, if you want to be satisfied with bread, you're going to have to open your eyes. Now, you know that that would be true because one of the devil's supreme jobs is to keep the eyes closed. So that's one of the things he does. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, Paul said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And then 2 Corinthians 4, 4, he says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And he did a marvelous job of blinding the Pharisees. Their eyes were open, but they could not see because their hearts had waxed gross. Paul said, I want you to open your eyes. And when he's talking about that, he's not just talking about the eyeball bones. He's talking about those spiritual eyes. Like Paul said in Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. You say, well, how in the world are my eyes going to open if I'm so filled with slumber and if I'm impoverished? You know how? You're going to have to ask the Lord to do it. Psalm 119, verse 18, one of the finest scriptures in the Bible as it concerns Bible reading and understanding what you're reading. Psalm 119, verse 18, write the verse down, remember the number, Psalm 119, verse 18, and memorize it. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Let the Lord open your eyes. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And then you go to the Bible and start to read and study. I can't tell you, but literally every day when I come to this Bible to preach, to read, to study, to write, whatever the case may be, I have to pray that because I got to be able to see what it is that God has in here, either for me or for you, to edify the saints. And the Lord is faithful to honor that prayer every single day. So you want to be satisfied with bread? Then open your eyes. If you can't see what the Bible is saying, then you'll never be satisfied. But if you can see what God is saying in the Bible, then you'll be full. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. There's a satisfied man. And a modern Bible won't do it. Your modern Bibles do not satisfy your appetite, and that's why there's so much need for all this other stuff to entertain you and to keep you interested. But you can't see that. Like, no, I just do that because I like that. No, that's a lust. You're looking for the joy. You're looking for the happiness because you're not satisfied with the appetite. Listen, I was just reading a statistic that Barna did the other day, talking about Bible readers. Bible readers, five times more read the King James Bible than they do the NIV. Why? The NIV won't satisfy. They'll read the King James Bible. Why? That's where you get fed. Bible readers are King James Bible people. And people that just go to church and carry the thing around and look it up just to get a scripture here and there, well, they might use a modern Bible because they're not looking for food. They're not looking for satisfaction. They're looking for a proof text that proves that what they're doing is okay so they can just go on through life. Now, I realize that's not the case with everybody. I stereotype there. I'll tell you, there are some people just don't know, and that's why I'm telling you what I'm telling you today so that you will know, and then you can go check it out for yourself. I used to be an NASV, New American Standard Version reader. But you know what? I didn't read it. I got what I needed out of it to teach my Sunday school class. I did that for years. I'd say probably 3-4 years anyway. When I became a reader, I went to that authorized King James Bible. That's where the satisfaction is. That's where the food is. That's where the communion from God is. Now, well, look what he said. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 13, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and what's the promise? Thou shalt be satisfied with bread. God promised that you would be satisfied with bread if you would not love sleep, if you would recognize that poverty would result if you did love sleep and if you opened your eyes. You see, there's a famine today. Amos spoke of it very, very clearly in Amos chapter 8, verse 11. He said, now the famine that I'm talking about is not a famine of bread. Okay? And look, you got plenty of grocery stores and plenty of restaurants down here to fill your belly. Not talking about that. The Lord says in Amos chapter 8, verse 11, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. That's what we're into today, a famine. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And if you want to be satisfied in your Christian life with bread from heaven, then you're going to have to get into an authorized King James Bible and set up a Bible reading, Bible study program, and quit falling asleep in the book. And quit thinking that your spirituality and your blessings from God are measured by money. And open your eyes by asking God to do that for you, and then get your nose in the book. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord, that's what he tells you, and read. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10, he says, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. That's what we're talking about, bread. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. Well, God intended for this book to satisfy you. He's pleased with that. And he wants it to prosper in that. And he says, my word will do that, that goes forth from my mouth. And it'll be like giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. You want to be satisfied with bread? Open your eyes. Recognize that God says it's not money that I'm concerned about when I concern myself with your poverty. It's your spirituality. And you got to quit falling asleep. You got to start reading. And then you'll be satisfied with bread. You know what my prayer is? My prayer is that something you've heard today will convince you that it's now time for you to start reading and studying that Bible on your own out of an authorized King James Bible, and trust God to honor Proverbs chapter 20, verse 13 in your life and satisfy you with that bread.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.